Groaning in relief, the young girl squatted behind a huckleberry thicket and emptied her bladder. The tart odor of pine straw saturated with urine filled the air around her. Inhaling deeply, she smiled, not so much from the aroma of the urine, but from the other scents in the crisp October air. Waking along the watershed usually meant another bland beginning to an uneventful day. Most days, the young girl whose name was Charity hated getting out of bed in the mornings. She preferred to lie in bed a few minutes, moaning, groaning, and stretching before getting up, especially once the weather began to turn cooler the way it had in recent weeks. However, that early October day in the year 1829, 14-year-old Charity sprang out of bed like a jackrabbit ready to run a race. Something special was going to happen that day. She knew it as surely as she knew her own name. However, she'd also been having a nagging pain in her innards that foretold a warning of some sort, a premonition that everything was not as it seemed. Hesitating a moment because of another of those nagging aches in her belly, Charity stopped mid-stride to question her feelings before going into the kitchen to start breakfast for her and her grandfather. Her grandparents had always told her that she had a gift of knowing, and that she needed to hone in on those feelings when they came to her. When alive, her grandmother, Methebe, possessed the same gift. Methebe was a full-blood, a Cherokee, the daughter of Shootin' Arrow, shaman of the bird clan of the South Carolina Mountains north of Savannah. The English words for her grandmother's name was Shadowy Moon. After stoking the fire, Charity placed a few pieces of bacon in the frying pan and set it on the grate above the fire, then stepped outside the old log cabin to go to the toilet. Taking a deep breath of the cool, fresh mountain air, Charity bent over and stretched her back to remove the stiffness she felt from sleeping in her not-so-comfortable bed. Her bed consisted of a cot with a straw-ticked mattress atop a wooden bunk that seemed to become flatter and harder every year she grew older and heavier. Her grandfather had built the log cabin some 50-odd years earlier as a wedding gift for Methebe. The bunk and mattress were made for the girl child that came along some years after they became husband and wife in a tribal ceremony with all of Shadowy Moon's clan members in attendance. Since clanship is matrilineal, Shadowy Moon's mother and oldest brother served as representatives, and because her grandfather could not be represented by his mother, which was Cherokee custom, a kindly elder of the clan represented him. First, the couple exchanged foodstuffs, a venison ham from him, symbolizing his intention to keep meat in the house, and an ear of corn from her, which symbolized her intention to be a good Cherokee wife. Afterward, the wedding party danced and feasted for hours. The priestess of the clan then blessed the sacred spot chosen for the ceremony for 7 consecutive days. Once that had been done, the bride and groom then approached the sacred fire. They were wrapped together in a blue blanket, sung to and blessed by the priestess, as was all in attendance. Once the priestess was satisfied that all was well, the blanket was removed and they started their lives together. The girl child born to them was Charity's mother, Gigesti. Charity's mother had been named Gigesti because of the violet color of her eyes. Being the daughter of an Englishman and a Cherokee squaw, Gigesti had been a raven-haired, violet-eyed beauty that turned the head of many a young brave. It wasn't long before she caught the attention of a handsome young brave named Ugug Uzdi. Ugug Uzdi was an old name that meant little owl. Charity could not remember her parents at all, but often wondered what her life would have been like if they had lived through the yellow fever epidemic that occurred when she was only 3 years old. As she grew older, Charity also wondered why she, a small and weak child, lived, and her strong, grown-up parents died. Nokomis, the Cherokee name she called her grandmother, had always told her that her parents died because it was the wish of the Great Spirit that they join him in his home in the sky. However, her grandmother's reply did not satisfy her question. She did not feel that saying they died because it was the wish of the Great Spirit was a real answer to her question. When her grand